Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 13. The chapter is titled Descriptions of Future Manus. This is text 12 and number 13. Tratta Deva Sutapasoho Viraja Amri Prabhaha Virajan Amrita Prabhavaha Desham Virochana Suto Balir Indro Bhavishyati. Dat. So, on to text 13. Dat Femam Yachama. Oh, sorry, translation. Translation. In the period of the eighth Manu, among the demigods will be the Sutapas, the Virajas, and the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana. Text 13. Datvemam yachamanayam Vishnaveya padatrayam Radham Indra padam hitva Tatrasiddham avyapsyati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Please repeat. Bali Maharaj purport. In Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is stated, Manushyanam sarasreshu kaschit yatate siddhaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Radham Indra pada hitva tata siddham avyapshati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, not the yoga siddhis. The yoga siddhis, anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakama, ishvata, vasita, and kama, vyasita, are temporary. The ultimate siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. Om. So these verses center around Sri Bali Maharaj. And the next one also. It mentions, of course, we know that there are 9 processes of devotional service. To hear about Krishna, to chant Krishna's names, or chant the glories of Krishna, to remember Krishna, to worship the Lord by performing deity worship or archana, to offer what we say beautiful prayers to the Lord as given by the scriptures, to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. That means to do personal service such as Lakshmi, to surrender everything to the Lord and become a pure servant, that is, Hanuman, achieve that. To become a friend of the Lord, and that was Arjun, and to surrender everything. Bali Maharaj is known as the personality that perfected that service, surrendering everything. Maharaj Parikshit perfected hearing about the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami perfected chanting the glories of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj has perfected remembering the Lord. Offering prayers to the Lord was done by Akrura. His prayers are mentioned in the 10th canto, beautiful prayers. Worshipping the deity, that was Prithu Maharaj. Lakshmi was the one who serves the lotus feet. Hanuman carries out all instructions without consideration of difficulty. Arjun, and then we have Bali. Did I leave any out? No, that's nine. Out of the nine processes of devotional service, the first seven can be performed in sadhana bhakti. The last two, becoming a friend and surrender everything, is on the platform of raganuga bhakti. This is mentioned in the fourth canto in chapter number 29. It's explained in that chapter that Prabhupada goes through the nine processes and explains one cannot come to the platform of becoming a friend or surrendering everything unless one is on the spontaneous platform, raganuga bhakti. That means one is fixed in one's service to the Lord, spontaneously, profusely offering everything to the Lord. So here we find the perfection of offering everything to the Lord was Bali Maharaj. What was Bali Maharaj's position? He was a king, but he was a king of the daityas, the demons, the ones who were against the devas. Amazing how we see a personality who apparently is against religious principles. He's fighting against Krishna's devotees, the devas. But yet he's glorified as one of the greatest of all devotees. Krishna's not partial. If one perfects or one has the spontaneous attraction to the Lord, it doesn't, what we say, there's no consideration of one's previous situation or even present situation. Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons, not just a demon, but he was the leader. He led the demons against the devas in a big fight that actually the fight practically never happened. There was two fights, the second one, of course. But the first one, he just came into the heavenly kingdom with all his soldiers, and his appearance looked like hundreds of suns appearing at one time. He was so effulgent. And just seeing his prowess and his personality, the devas realized we couldn't do anything, so they just left their kingdoms. So the demons achieved all the three worlds without a fight. They got everything, the higher planets, the middle planets, the lower planets, without even a fight. But the devas went to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, Lord Brahma, they went to Brahma. That's the process. When you have a problem, you go to your immediate authority first. If he can't solve it, then he goes to the next authority, generally. So they went to Brahma. And Brahma said, well, I think this is a job for Vishnu. And the Lord appeared, as famous as Vamanadeva. And then we know the whole story. How in three steps of land, actually that pastime is coming up. It's one of the most, I think, beautiful pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole story of the Lord begging charity from Bali and how Bali responds to the Lord. And the various philosophical principles that are taught in that particular pastime are fundamental to one's practice of Krishna consciousness. They give such deep understanding of how we should execute devotional service and what is the mood of a real devotee. So in this preliminary discussion on this Leela, Bali, when he realized the personality who had come before him as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did he do? He surrendered everything. Without what we say, what's the word, consideration of what would happen. Sometimes we think, well, should I surrender? And if we figure out if it's a good idea to surrender, then we do it. Or what's in it for me? Will Krishna actually acknowledge my surrender and reciprocate according to his promise. There's some preconceived calculation sometimes being done. And sometimes that's almost human nature to be like that, almost. But when it comes to dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to transcend human nature too. We have to. Therefore, in this case, Bali, he was only able to give, the Lord requested 3 paces of land. And he was only able to give 2. Couldn't even fulfill the request of the Lord. Although he was the proprietor of everything in the material world, he couldn't fulfill the Lord's request. But he gladly gave 2. And what was left? One promise unfulfilled, 1 step of land. The Lord said, there's nothing left. What should I do? Where's this next step? Bali didn't know what to do. He just was lost. And finally, the Lord arranged for him to get tied up by the ropes of Vasuki. And he was a prisoner. He was being punished. He surrendered everything, and now he's being punished. Hari Bol. It now sounds like you're in the wrong movement, huh? Right? People pray, you know, my dear Lord, here's some nice prayers. Please reciprocate with the request I am asking, you know. When Krishna consciousness, you never know. You surrender everything and you could still die. But Krishna's kind. He's the most kind. But he knows how to deal with each and every living entity according to how best they can bring out their ultimate principle of bhakti. He wants to bring that out. He wants to glorify his Lord or bring out their qualities in the utmost. He knows what each of us are holding back. Prabhupada used to say, you may give something to Krishna, but Krishna's seeing, what is he holding back? I have to get that too. Yeah, that's Krishna. He appreciates what you offer when it's offered with devotion, but still he's thinking, what's left to get? He wants everything. Pretty greedy personality, isn't he? But that's Krishna. He just likes to get as much as he can get. Of course, he can get everything, but he has a way of getting it. That when he gets it, you're happy and he's happy. Not that you're miserable and he's happy. He wants to make you happy by getting it in a way that makes you happy. But sometimes in giving it, it becomes a little difficult. So Bali didn't know what to do. And he was tied up. Finally, his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, arrived in the assembly. And he offered beautiful prayers. Although tied up, he worshipped his grandfather, who was the best of all devotees, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, in such a way that by doing that, he became enlightened within his mind. He understood what to do next. It wasn't until Prahlad Maharaj appeared in the assembly, and then he offered nice prayers, and by pleasing Prahlad and the Lord by those prayers, he got knowledge. This is another important principle, that sometimes we just don't know exactly how best to execute devotional service. Sometimes it seems like there's so many options in which direction to go. Therefore, what is the qualification? Well, you might say the qualification is intelligence, but where does the intelligence come from? Krishna says, I am the intelligent of the intelligence. In other words, Krishna provides the intelligence when we actually pray sincerely to do the right thing. How best can I surrender? I can surrender. I remember sometimes we would be out on Sankirtan and we wouldn't know which place to go to do the Sankirtan. We would have different options. So we would think, well, this place might be good or that place might be good. So we would just take a coin and say, heads, I go here, and tails, I go there. and flip the coin in whatever way it goes that we figure. First we pray to the coin and pray to Krishna, please empower this coin with your sanction, your will. And then whatever happens, it becomes like that sometimes. You get so, you just, everything looks exactly like the other, just as good as the other choice. So, of course, when we have the spiritual master and the devotees here to give us guidance, then it's easy. But sometimes it's not always like that. Or sometimes when you ask the spiritual master, or they'll say, use your intelligence to figure out how best to do things. In fact, that is actually Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, we are creating a society of intelligent class of devotees who can actually use their intelligence to become Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness. So when the intelligence is not there, sometimes it is mentioned that one should take intelligence from higher authority. And of course, one has to be sincere. When one sincerely tries, even if the choice is not perfect, if the sincerity is there, Krishna will empower that. Krishna will empower that because he sees you're actually sincerely want to serve in the best possible way, in the best possible mood. So Krishna will accept that, even if it's not the perfect choice. So Bali, finally, when he offered the prayers, this is important to understand, by pleasing the Lord and pleasing the Lord's pure devotee, the knowledge came within his heart. The same thing we did when we hear about Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma couldn't figure out what to do. He came out of the lotus stem. He sat on top of the lotus. He looked this way, he looked that way. All he could see was darkness. He went back down the lotus again. All he could see was the inside of the lotus. And he seemingly couldn't understand who he was, what was his relationship with the Lord, anything. So all he did was offer sincere prayers. And when his prayers became perfect, the Lord revealed exactly everything to him within the heart. Krishna is in the heart. Supersoul is there. It says, when the mind and the senses are fully controlled, the Supersoul is automatically reached. So controlling the mind and senses is preliminary in order to execute devotional service carefully. So when the mind and senses are nicely controlled, engage in devotional service, and then when we use our apply our intelligence to that process, Krishna reveals within the heart. And sometimes, even if we can't hear him within the heart, he comes in the form of a devotee or a situation just to enlighten us, to explain exactly what we should be doing right then, when one is endeavoring with determination. So Bali got the understanding, and what did he do? He just said, my dear Lord, put your third step on my head. He already gave everything, now he was giving himself, and that was actually what the Lord was waiting for. The Lord doesn't have to worry about who has this or that. This material energy is always working on his direction. Maya dakshena prakriti suya che shacharacharam hetu nanandu kuntiya chigavi parvi partante. That this material energy is mama maya, Krishna says. It is my energy, it belongs to me, and is controlled by me. So people fight over the energy of the Lord, but still, it's not their energy and they can't control it anyway. In fact, when they get it, it's control. They control, that energy controls them. Just like I was talking to some people who are quite wealthy, and I was explaining, you know, wealth means to be controlled by the wealth you have. Your wealth is controlling you. You think you have so much money to do whatever you like, but that money has controlled your life and forcing you to act in a certain way and think in a certain way and be subjected to certain sufferings because you're being controlled by the thing that you think you want to enjoy. That is the nature of material life. One wants something to enjoy, but it gets controlled by the same process. So, That is the nature of the material energy. So those who are fighting over the material energy to get it for their own is controlled by that same energy. Prabhupada says, uses the example, the Israelis and the Pakistanis the Palestinians and the Israelis are fighting over the land. So they're saying, this is my land, this is my land. They've been fighting over this piece of land for the last 40 years. Same piece. And Prabhupada says, what do they get? When they get killed, they get to get buried in the land that they fight over. That's all. So you can take possession after you die. So it's ridiculous when you think about it. So everything in this material world is already controlled by the Lord. And one can only surrender unto the Lord. And then that energy that one is trying to control actually becomes a facility for service. And one can actually, in one sense, to use a very loose term, one can enjoy the property of the Lord as a devotee of the Lord. Just like I was just... I think I embarrassed one person. You know, I just came to one place, and he's a very rich man, and he's a devotee. He was letting me stay at his house. So we were talking about this subject. I was giving a class in the temple. This was in Belgaum. So I was saying, he asked a question about, I forgot the question, about control or something. I said, just like, you know, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm just a sannyasi. I'm a beggar. But I'd come and I stay in your beautiful house. You created the house and you're working hard to keep the house up. But I come and enjoy it. So, you know, the devotee is like that. Krishna, the devotee can enjoy the property of the Lord as in relationship to serving the Lord. Right? We don't try to enjoy, but Krishna provides whatever we need and even more in order to engage in our devotional service. Whereas the materialists have to struggle so hard just to get something that they think they can enjoy, and then they get it controlled and it causes them suffering. Haribo. So who's better off? So Bali, actually, Krishna was doing him a favor by taking everything away from him, because then he gave it to me. It says he gave everything back. The Lord actually was pleased by Bali. Bali had surrendered everything, including his very life and devotion to the Lord, with great submission. He was happy. At the end, he was happy to be, what we say, completely controlled and completely, what we say, free from all of his attachments. Except his sister wasn't so happy. Ratnavali, I think that's her sister's name. When she saw what was happening to her brother, she was upset. First, she saw Vamanadeva and she said, oh, wow, what a beautiful boy. He's so beautiful. Wow. Vamana is the perfection of beauty. Out of all the incarnations of the Lord, each of the incarnations have many of the six qualities of the Lord outstanding. But Vamanadeva, his most outstanding quality was his beauty. He was so beautiful. Even when he was born, no one could take their eyes away from this beautiful little Brahmin boy. But when Ratnavali, the sister of Bali Maharaj, when she saw him, she just developed this loving motherly affection so much. But then when she saw how the Lord took everything away from her brother, she became angry at the Lord. She got upset. Her motherly affection got, what we say, put into the second place, and her anger became first. And so in her next life, she became Putana. She had motherly affection and anger for the Lord. Same. So yeah, be careful what you desire. Be very careful. You might think, well, I'm a devotee, but I also have this other desire. So Krishna might, in your next, you might have to come back just to fulfill that little bit of desire and then finish up. So we have to be careful. what we desire, even if it's something little that's outside of devotional service. So Bali reached perfection, and the Lord actually became his personal servant. Isn't this amazing? The Lord was so pleased with Bali that he became his personal servant. And the Lord resided in the planet of Sutapa as the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Even today, Bali has his place in the lower subterranean heavenly planets, those planets that are below the earthly planets, that are heavenly. And Bali is there, and the Lord is his personal doorkeeper. How pleased, how much the Lord reciprocates with his devotee. Bali was a thief, but still, because he surrendered everything, Krishna gave him everything in return back, plus he gave him himself. So how much the Lord, when the Lord wants to show his mercy to a devotee, if the Lord is pleased with the devotee, then there's no limit on how the Lord can reciprocate with the devotee. So here in the purport, it mentions that the ultimate achievement is to achieve the favor of the Lord. And that is bhakti. Bhakti means to try to serve in such a way that the Lord is pleased. How do we know when the Lord is pleased? This is a question that comes up sometimes. This actually was asked by Srila Prabhupada. We hear Srila Prabhupada that when the Lord is pleased, then, you know, that's the perfection. But how do we know when the Lord is pleased? Prabhupada said, just like there is a connection between the root and the tree, and the different parts of the tree, if you put water on the root of the tree, all the parts get nourished. So the benefit comes to the other parts, although the water gets put on the root. So when Krishna is pleased, he said, you're also pleased. He says, you're also pleased. Krishna's in your heart, and when he's pleased by your devotional service, he reciprocates. You also feel, you get two things. You get transcendental knowledge, and you get detachment from material activities, or freedom from material suffering. As your material suffering is reduced and your transcendental knowledge is increasing, that means your devotional service is pleasing Krishna. And then when it reaches perfection, Krishna reveals himself as himself also. That is the ultimate perfection of that knowledge. Krishna gives himself. So this is the process of bhakti. Bali Maharaj is expert. He surrendered everything. When one time, one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. There were so many of these in the early days. We didn't know anything. Now we know very little, but before we knew nothing. And the devotee would say, Prabhupada, I want to surrender everything. I want to surrender everything. Prabhupada said, what do you have to surrender? Nothing's yours anyway. He would say that. It belongs to Krishna anyway. It was a morning walk one time, and Prabhupada was talking. And there was one respectable gentleman. This was in India, an industrialist. So Prabhupada was talking. So Prabhupada said to him, what is your occupation? Well, he said, I'm a glass maker. I make glass. So Prabhupada said, well, where does the glass come from? Where does the ingredients from? He says, it's silicon. Prabhupada said, that's sand, right? Yeah, he said, yes. So who does the sand belong to? So the sand belongs to Bhagavan, he said, Bhagavan. So Prabhupada said, you're a thief. And the man said, but Swamiji, I give donations. Prabhupada said, then you're only a little thief. Prabhupada didn't give him any relief. He said, and he wanted to explain that everything belongs to the Lord. And we think, oh, I'm giving something to, isn't this so wonderful, Krishna? Just see what I'm donating to you. Just be happy with my donation. Krishna's saying, you're giving back to me what belongs to me. That's good, but what else do you have? Just like when you worship the Ganges, you offer Ganges water to the Ganges, right? What can you worship? Right? The Ganges water is pleased by the offering of the Ganges water to the Ganges, but the prayers is what's pleasing to the Ganges, not the water. The water is already the Ganges. Same thing as when we offer something to the Lord, it's already His anyway. But how it's offered is what's pleased to the Lord. If we're offering something and we want something in return, that is not a perfect offering. The offering is perfect when we're actually acknowledge that this belongs to you and I want to offer it and in devotion to you. Please accept my offering. That's devotional service. So Bali was enlightened within the heart, and once the Lord realized his pure heart, because Krishna understands everything, he knows exactly what's in our heart. We may not even understand exactly our own intentions clearly. We have some idea. But Krishna knows. The subtleties of our own attachments sometimes are hidden from ourselves. Although we're doing devotional service, we still have these desires that are somewhat, what we say, contrary to devotional service. But Krishna will gradually, if you stay in the process of devotional service and you continue to execute the devotional service as given by the spiritual master, the best way to surrender everything is only one way, and that is you have to carefully follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is empowered by Krishna to bring you to perfection. The spiritual master is able to see exactly what you need to do when you need to do it. And so, therefore, one should inquire regularly in order to get understanding and execute the instructions with faith and with determination like that. And being being detached to the results of our activities. Not that I'm offering everything, my dear Lord, so now it's your turn. You fulfill my devotional obligations. Krishna may make you wait. Krishna wants to see sometimes. But ultimately, when we achieve the favor of the Lord, there's nothing else to achieve. This is the most important part. To achieve the favor of the Lord means to achieve perfection in life. And we can achieve the favor of people in this world, our employers, our family members, our friends, people in general. But that kind of favor may be nice to give us some, what we say, enthusiasm in our material activities, but they won't satisfy the heart. When the Lord is pleased, then everything else, just like it says, Siguru charane rati aise utamagati es prasade purve sarva as, that simply by pleasing the spiritual master, all of one's desires become fulfilled automatically. It's hard to understand how that happens, but Krishna makes it happen. He can fulfill all of your desires simply in one stroke when he is pleased by your devotional service. And ultimately, there's two ways to fulfill desires. One is to get what you want, and the other one is to get something better. And that's devotional service. We may get what we want, but ultimately getting something better is what we actually want, and that is devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya was giving out benedictions and blessings to his devotees in the Mahaprakash Lila at the house of Srivas Thakur for 21 hours, all his devotees were simply asking for devotional service. That's all. They understood what was the perfection. They weren't asking for anything material. Because everything material, there's two problems with things that are, you get material benedictions. One, they're temporary. And two, you may not fulfill your desire for happiness when you get it. You never know, even if you get what you want, whether it's going to make you happy or not. I've seen so many times people driven with great determination to achieve something. Like sometimes a boy wants to marry this girl or a girl wants to marry this boy, and it's like, it looks like it's made in heaven, but then again, later on we find it drops down to the lower planetary systems. So although such determination, enthusiasm, and what we say, one-pointed fixity on the goal, and is achieved, and there's no guarantee of happiness, satisfaction, peace of mind. So therefore, one should desire one thing: to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all. That's all. To please the Lord, and to please the Lord by pleasing the Lord's devotees, by engaging in devotional service like that. And that is the perfection of life. And that is what Bali Maharaj had shown us, that he had everything. There was nothing he didn't need. He was a brahmana. I mean, he was a kshatriya, and he was pleasing the brahmanas. All the brahmanas were coming. He was giving gifts and charity. He was well liked by everyone. He was famous, powerful, perfect family, had so many things. But still, when it came to giving everything to the Lord, it wasn't a problem. He understood. This is the perfection of life. So this is a beautiful pastime. Please stay very much connected to this pastime. It's a long story. It's actually 4 or 5 chapters, but it's filled with so many significant spiritual principles that will help us in our practice of devotional service. Okay, any questions or comments? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Do we have a microphone?
Maharaj is asking a question that you were mentioning, that when we do bhakti, we do it because the Lord wants it, but from our side, we are doing it out of fear.
Mm.
So why that? Why does that happen?
Why do we have fear?
Yeah. Why do we approach the Lord out of fear?
Well, because we're afraid that if we don't serve the Lord, He's going to make our life miserable. Or He's going to take away something that I like. So we're trying to make a deal with the Lord. It's more like, okay, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Now, please don't do anything to me that I don't like. So the fear aspect is there. But that's the lowest. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that those who approach the God in 4 ways, fear is the most, the basic one. If I don't serve the Lord, if I don't offer prayers to the Lord, then He'll make my life miserable. I won't be happy. So we want material happiness by giving something to the Lord. That's all. It's basically what we want. And that's the lowest. The next is that we serve the Lord to become happy. The third is to become out of duty. And then the fourth is out of love. So we should serve the Lord out of duty. That's the stable platform. It's my duty to serve the Lord. You understood the answer? Yeah. Okay. Krishna loves everybody. But He reciprocates. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham mam avart manuvartante manushya sarvas. If you approach the Lord in fear, He's going to reciprocate in the same way. You're not going to get free from your fear. Because you're putting conditions on the Lord, that's all. So don't be afraid of Krishna. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Krishna is your mother, your father, and your treasure of life. Krishna is your eternal lover. We have nothing to fear. Those who want to take from the Lord, they fear the Lord. Those who want to, the one who love the Lord, there's no fear. There's no fear. Just like a little child, and his father may be very powerful, and he can, you know, conquer over so many other people. But for the child still has love for his father because it's his father. And the father loves the child. So Krishna loves us, but he'll reciprocate on how we approach. So we should try to approach the Lord. That is my duty to serve you, Lord, and therefore I offer you this with devotion. And this is my offering to you. That's all. Krishna's happy. There's no need to be fearful of the Lord. Yes.
Maharaj, I had one question. For a grihastha, what does it really mean to surrender everything to the Lord? Practically, what we should understand?
As a grihastha? Well, there's different stages of that surrender. The principle is to follow your ashram. In the grihastha ashram, there are principles that govern the activities of a grihastha. By following those principles, that is surrender. But follow the principles in a devotional mood. And that's all. Given, it says, grihasthas are meant to give in charity. It's also open your home and have programs for others. Can also, we worship the grihasthas, must worship the deity. It says that one. Grihasthas are engaged in material activities. Prabhupada writes in the second. So therefore, they must worship the deity, because they have to associate with the material energy so closely. So deity worship is important for grihastha. He says, if you don't, your falling down is guaranteed for those who are grihasthas. So these are some principles that we should follow. And the scriptures teach us more finer aspects of grihastha life. We can read the story of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. That's the pinnacle, or we may say the epitome of grihastha life. How to be an ideal grihastha in relationship to our possessions and to our family members like that. So follow your ashram in the best possible way. That's all. And Krishna is pleased with that. And as you go deeper, Krishna will reveal more and more how to surrender more and more like that. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As you mentioned about options in devotional service, like you mentioned about the example of tossing a coin, and you have to choose between different devotional activities. So how do we prioritize and how do we take guidance for the same?
Well, the coin principle is the secondary principle. It's not the primary principle. Don't get it mixed up. In other words, I'm out on Sankirtan, so that's the primary principle. I'm supposed to be out on Sankirtan. The secondary principle is how best to do the Sankirtan. So there's where the coin comes in. Not the primary principle. Primary principle you have to get from the instructions of your spiritual man. How you do your duty, you have to use your intelligence. But you have to do your prescribed duty. That's the important thing. So once you know your prescribed duty, then you have to see how best to do that. That's where the feature of choosing comes in. But as a matter of what service to do, that you should get from guidance and instructions from the spiritual master or the spiritual master's representative. That way you know for sure. Then how to do the duty, the spiritual master is in, his representatives are not going to be on top of you every minute telling you, do it like this, do it like this, do it like this. You require some intelligence to apply in the best way to how best to execute the service. So, like that. You understand the difference? Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.